I could. Everybody should get seated now because we're going to start the meeting. Thank you. AGP, are we ready to record? Good. I hereby call the regular meeting of the Camden Community Services Board of Directors to order. Would you please join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance? All the members of the Board of Directors are in. Are present, so we have a quorum. I think the report from closed session from Mr. Carmel will be the same as the one he delivered after the last special meeting. But if he, I'll turn it over to him because this is the next item on the agenda. Mr. Carmel, is this the report on the last on the special meeting?
It is, but I indicated then that I'd be repeating that report.
Excellent. Yeah. So please proceed.
Thank you. On May 2nd, the board held a closed session for a conference with its real property negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8. The property is located at 2950 Santa Rosa Creek Road, Cambria, California. Assessor's parcel number 013081075. The agency negotiators are General Manager Matthew McElhaney and District Counsel Tim Carmel. The negotiating party is Coast Unified School District. Under negotiation are the terms for purchase of well, pipeline, and access easements, which were conceptually agreed to by the parties who attended the mediation on April 24th, 2024. It was a productive mediation, and it is anticipated that an agreement will be reached with the school district in the near future. That agreement will be on an open session agenda. No action was taken at that closed session. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Is there any public comment on this report? Ms. Dodson?
No.
Okay, thank you. Moving along to the president's report, which is my portion of the meeting. I have no report to deliver at this point. I want to move to agenda review quickly to ask the question of how many people are here for item two, which is the acknowledgments and the swearing in of the firefighters. Raise your hands, please. Well, that's good. So that means we'll get to that right away, and we'll have to wait around through a lot of boring business items to get to it. Thank you. Otherwise, is there anyone on the board want to propose moving anything on the agenda or eliminating some item? Nope, hearing nothing. We'll move on to acknowledgments. And this is the swearing in of a new fire engineer, a firefighter, and safer firefighters. So General Manager McElhaney, do you want to take it or do you want to give it to Chief Berkey right away?
Yeah. President Gray, I think Chief Berkey has it.
Okay. Thank you, Chief Berkey. Greetings.
There we go. Is that on?
Perfect. It's on, yes.
President Gray, members of the board, members of the staff, and members of the community. Today, I have the esteemed honor to swear in and badge a new member of the Cambria CSD Fire Department. The swearing in of an oath of office is required for all public safety personnel in California under Government Code Section 3102. The oath, as read and signed by personnel, establishes the minimum standard and commitment required to protect and defend this country, state, and community. Today, we'll be swearing in and badging our newest full-time member of the Fire Department, Kyle Herrera, along with some of our other members of the fire department that have been recently promoted. I'll have those guys come up to the podium now. Yeah, right on this side. This way if you can, a little bit closer this way. We're just doing it for the camera, which is over there. I'm going to read a quick bio about Kyle since he's new to us and the rest of the group that's been serving our community for a while, so I'm going to give them a quick update on their positions here. So Kyle Herrera grew up in San Diego, California. and he attended the University of San Diego, where he earned his bachelor's degree in business administration. After working in sales and marketing for 8 years, Kyle decided to switch careers and begin to pursue a career in firefighting. In 2021, Kyle attended the Allen Hancock Fire Academy, where he was class president and obtained his Firefighter 1 certification. In 2022, he joined the Atascadero Fire Department as a seasonal firefighter for the summer, and in the winter joined the Olympic Valley Fire Department, which is up in the Tahoe area, as a seasonal firefighter. Kyle then returned to Atascadero Fire Department for a second season in the summer of 2023. Kyle lives in Santa Barbara with his wife, Ellie, and their dog, Koa. On his days off, he enjoys spending time at his wife's family ranch, which is up here in the county, which is up in Nacimiento Lake area, adventuring in Baja, or spending time with family and friends. Tyler Loudermilk has worked for Cambria Fire Department since November 2021 and promoted to Safer Firefighter EMT in September of 2023, and finally promoted to Firefighter EMT Permanent in April, just this last month. Christian Evers was hired as a reserve firefighter with the Cambria Fire Department in October of 2020 and was promoted to Safer Firefighter Paramedic in January 1st of 2022, and finally Fire Engineer Paramedic in September of 2023. Last but not least, Colton Bloom has worked for the Cambria Fire Department since October 21. He was promoted to Safer Firefighter EMT in September of 2023. Kyle is being badged by his wife, Ellie. Tyler is being badged by his wife, Brianna, and Colton by his girlfriend, Alyssa, and Christian by his mom, Heather. We'll have them join you at the podium now. I'll read this short little paragraph and then we'll have you actually perform the badging, okay? The honor of being badged in a fire department is a cherished tradition. It is a direct result of the hard work and dedication that these individuals put in to earn the opportunity to be a public servant in our fire department. To all the members of the Cambria Fire Department, this badge represents the trust this fire department and this community has placed in your hands. Wear it with pride upon your uniform and never do anything, on or off duty, that will tarnish the trust this badge carries. This fire department, this board of directors, and this community trusts and support you. We are happy to have you as part of the Cambria CSD team. Now place your badge on your firefighters. General Manager McElhaney is going to hand the family a bouquet of flowers there. And the family, you may be seated now. We're going to read the oath of office. Gentlemen, if you'd raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California, that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge The duties upon which I am about to enter. Congratulations, gentlemen. Please welcome me, join me in welcoming and congratulating your fire team. Thank you guys very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chief. It's time now, I guess, for board member communications. Any members, also if you always want to say something about, oops, I'm getting feedback here. If you want to say something about the presentation too, please do. But this is the time for board member communications. We have brief comments or reports on your activities or questions. You can raise them now. Lights here. I'll start with, I'll start with Vice President Scott.
Okay. Congratulations to all the new fire department people, and we just want to say thank you for your service. I am part of the Cambria Community Chorale, and we have our two concerts this Sunday, the 12th, and the next Sunday, the 19th, at 2 p.m. at the Cambria, it's Cambria Presbyterian Community Church. I would like to invite anyone who would like to come. Our past president, Mr. Howell, is also part of the chorale, and it's going to be a really, really fun concert. So I'd like to invite you, and I have tickets if anybody's interested.
Thank you. Dr. Farmer.
Thank you, President Gray. I just want to comment, of course, it appears as if just about everybody that was here for the celebration of our new firefighters has left. I might be the only person that picked up on it, but the energy in this room was just so cool. You could feel the warmth and enthusiasm, and it was just very uplifting. And it's like a little bit different than how the energy is here normally. And so I just wanted to comment on that and wish everyone the best of luck. And I have a feeling that Mr. Herrera might be the only person, certainly in the history of the Cambria CSD, that graduated with a BA in business administration, went into sales and marketing, and then decided, you know, I think I'll be a firefighter. That sounds very unusual to me, but he must be a very unique person. So I'll just got to leave it at that. Thank you.
Director Dean.
I just wanted to join in on congratulating the new firefighters and wishing them luck, and we appreciate their service. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, with that, board member communications completed, we'll move on to public comment. And this is the time for comment on items that are not on the agenda and yet are also under the purview of the CCSD. I have one speaker slip, this section from Christine Heinrich. So Ms. Heinrich, you might want to come forward.
There, and thank you. Back in 2021, the policy committee began discussing a climate policy for Cambria. Committee member Ted Key wrote a thoughtful draft to which others made comments. Director Michael Thomas chimed in with his thoughts, but the board in its wisdom decided that the Resources and Infrastructure Committee was a better setting for this discussion and sent it to R&I instead of policy for formulation. There, it effectively died for the past 3 years. Although the board expressed some reluctance about adopting a climate policy at the time, their position changed quickly when District Engineer Ray D'Enzo informed them that having a climate policy was a requirement for many grant applications. Thus, writing the policy was shuffled over to R&I. R&I Chair Karen Dean says a draft of it will be considered at the May 13th R&I committee meeting. The current path forward is for R&I to send it to the board for you to discuss, then send it back to the policy committee, which will work on it, then send it back to you for final discussion and approval. This three-year saga sounds like a lack of sufficient determination to write and adopt a climate policy. How long do you expect it to take to shuffle it from one committee to another and commit to a substantive climate policy? Has lack of such a policy delayed infrastructure grant applications, as Mr. D'Enzo said? I ask you to get serious about adopting a climate change policy for Cambria. Thank you.
Thank you. I have another slip from Tina Dickerson.
Thank you, President Gray. Tina Dickerson, Cambria. I'm here today to ask the board, and through the board, the general manager, where exactly is the district in obtaining a CDP for the thrice named facility, EWS, SWF, WRF? While I'm aware of comments recently made in response to the WRF project description, I am not aware of any comments forthcoming or have come from the planning department. As you and some of the public are very much aware, this has to go through the planning department and be approved by them, by it. And so far, I'm not reading anything in the GM's bi-monthly letters, in his reports, nor anything on the agendas. What exactly, so when Ms. Heinrichs writes some comments and brings them to your attention and says Cambria is stuck. Yeah, Cambria is stuck. I agree. It is stuck on this project. And through no fault of anyone sitting before me. But this project from the get-go was a disaster. Many of us in this community pleaded with the not just the board, but the regional board to not grant a permit for either the facility itself or for the evaporation pond. Some years later, of course, there was a cease and desist on it, then it was decommissioned, the evaporation pond. And when we went to Watsonville to a regional board meeting, the president of the regional board said, if I had known then, in 2014, what I know now, the CCSD would never have received a permit for either one, the facility or the evaporation pond. And yet here we are, almost 10 years later since it was built. What are you folks going to do about it? Because you're not being transparent with the community. You've hired consultant upon a consultants, an ad hoc committee, SWECA, I mean, you name it. This town is sick and tired of it. And I think I speak for the majority of people in this town. Something has to be done. We have 10 more years to pay on this nightmare. Something has to be done. And I'm requesting that I could read what Shani Song from Planning wrote last year on the in-stream flow study. What's happened with that? Has Shani or somebody from Planning responded to the WRF project description? We don't know. Folks, it's time to get something done. Or I mean, honestly, if ever there was a lawsuit that needed to happen, it's the raping of ratepayers on this project that has gone on and on and on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your time is up. Thank you very much. Anyone else in the audience here wants to speak? I think there's someone coming forward, yes. You can state your name for the record, that'd be good.
Yes, my name is Gloria Palacio. So I was here, and you kindly informed me of visiting today.
Thank you
so much. So my question is, the housing that's being built or scheduled to be built, if anyone please has information as to where can I register for it and if there's a waiting list. So that's my primary concern at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
When we get to the end of public comment, if anybody from the staff wants to respond to anything, any questions or whatever, we'll do that then, I guess. Ms. Dodson, do we have any online, either written comment or people want to speak online?
I just have two written comments
please.
From Linda Prentice. They're pretty short, so I'm just going to
please, yes.
Put them together. The five vacant parcels I own on Norwich would be very much valuable in tax money if I were allowed to build my dream home. I hold water meter number 91. Could you possibly please allow the first 100 water meters build? Dear board, since I will be 76 next month, I would appreciate having a building permit for my five lots in the Norwich subdivision in which I have a water meter number 91. Is there any possibility? Thank you, Linda Prentice.
Thank you. And there was nobody online wishes to speak.
No.
Good, thank you. If anyone on the staff wants to respond to any of the questions or raised, you can do so now. Thank you.
Thank you, President Gray. I'll address the affordable housing first. That project is still awaiting some financing for it to even break ground. So there's just not a whole lot of movement on that. They are going to be applying for their reissuance of the intent to serve. I believe that expires every 18 months. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but or Mr. Green. So they're going through that process. But as far as breaking ground, they're looking for some financial issues to be fixed there. As for some of the Coastal Commission communications and county communications, I'm trying to be as transparent as I can be, putting it in the letters and giving updates when I can. The Coastal Commission had some comments. We've forwarded those to our consultant, and we are working with those. The comments from the county itself, that was a Zoom meeting in which they were not responding with comments via email, so there's really nothing to update there outside of some of the feedback that they gave our consultant. They've integrated that into our project description. There's a few more things that we need to tighten up on that based on the new comments, and so we are doing that. I will say that it was basically a year ago from the date I was hired is when that last project description came before the board, and we've literally rewritten the whole thing and encompassed some changes in which we are going to transform the pond back into Esha. So a lot of the things that were in the old project description are no longer there. It is a new description, and we have a new plan moving forward. We've had meetings with the Coastal Commission in the county to ensure it's done correctly. We just need a little more time to incorporate their comments, so when we do bring it before the county, they will have seen it, they've had the ability to comment on it, and we are coming in with a pretty solid document. And we have done really well with that document. We're going to bring it before the board in a public hearing, and we hope to have that before you soon, but that takes time to incorporate some of the new comments. So I will provide a little more in-depth, some more information on that when the GM letter goes out tomorrow night.
Thank you. Thank you. Any more comments from staff? Yeah. I just had Helen. We have a feedback a little bit more. We have new microphones up in our feedback. Yeah, in other words, I guess if there's one light on, everyone turns their lights off. Okay, good, good. Yeah. I just want to add on the people self-help housing, the inquiry about that. I believe it's next month that they'll be coming to the board for the renewals, an 18-month period, a renewal of their intent to serve letter. I would expect and hope that the representative from the organization will be there to give us a little more detail on what's keeping the project from going into construction, because it is, I believe financing. We'll know more about it. It's been a long wait. It's very frustrating, I know, for people who need housing here. It was approved a long time ago, several years ago now, and including by the Coastal Commission. So it is a matter of just financing, but I think we will know more about it in a month, next month, one of the two meetings. So stay tuned. Hopefully you can get your questions answered.
Dr. Farmer.
Yeah.
Thank you, President Gray. It's with some ambivalence that I'm speaking to the item that Ms. Dickerson addressed. I believe it's this coming May 20th was the start date for the emergency water supply project 10 years ago. And I've been one of the members of the community, obviously, far before I even got on the board, really totally disenchanted and disappointed with what our previous board did in approving this, I hesitate to say boondoggle. How it's moving forward now, I can't necessarily comment on, but it's an unfortunate set of circumstances that this board, people of, from my humble estimation, people of integrity, who have a depth of caring for this community and how our decision-making moves forward, I wish this had happened in the past. And so we have this particular project right now that has probably cost the district, the ratepayers of this community, now probably $17, $18 million. We still have 10 years to pay on it. And I guess all I ask is that people be understanding that this board did not begin this project. This board wants the best for the community with regard to this project, and we'll move forward as best we can. And that's basically what I have to say. Thank you.
Any other comments from the board? Okay, thank you. We'll move on now to the consent agenda. Items 5A and 5B, one of them is consideration adoption of resolution 08-2024 approving award of the fire hazard fuel reduction program agreement. 5B, consideration of adoption of policy 1045, legal counsel and auditor policy. And with the consent agenda procedure, I ask first if any board members have questions, brief questions for clarification on either of the items. I see none. And then if anybody wants to have an item polled for separate consideration. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion. Oh, wait a second. Public comment. Is there any public comment on either of these matters?
No.
Ms. Dodson. Okay. Any public comment in the hall here? And no speaker slips. So I will entertain a motion. Dr. Dean.
I move that we adopt resolution 08 or the consent agenda in full. The consent agenda in full.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt the consent agenda item in full. Could I have a roll call, please?
Director Dean?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. So we have to be careful in roll call. We have all of our microphones on at once. And so this is something I guess, yeah, our audio people, our PA people here will work with that. Okay, thank you. Moving on to hearings and appeals, item 6A, discussion and consideration of adoption of resolution 09-2024, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on the county tax rolls. And at this point, we're starting a public hearing. Staff, you can start by presenting. Mr. McElhenney presenting the item, and then we'll have questions from the board and
comment. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, President Gray. Again, agenda item 6A, discussion and consideration of adoption of resolution 092024, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on the county tax rolls. The fiscal impact for 2425 through the county tax rolls will ensure that those charges are collected by the CCSD in the most cost-efficient way. At the April 11th, 2024 regular meeting, the Board of Directors fixed water and wastewater standby availability charges pursuant to Government Code Section 61124B, and these charges are imposed on all owners of developed parcels and owners of undeveloped parcels with the intent to serve letters or connection permits.
Any questions from the board? Vice President Scott.
Yes, and I just would like, thank you, Mr. President, and I would like just to once again make sure that this is not going to increase my bill.
Correct.
Director Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. One thing for those, if anyone happens to be looking for their APN on this list, the list is in order up to a certain point, and then it goes random after page 78. I inquired and was informed that that's the nature of the computer information system that staff has the misfortune of dealing with, and they'd love to have it improved, but just so you know, you know, if you're looking for your APN in the first like 30 or 40 pages and it's not there, look towards the last few pages. And unfortunately, in that last few pages, the numbers are random, but I was able to find mine, and I'm pretty sure everyone will be able to find theirs too. Just a comment to be helpful, but looks like it's all in order.
Okay. Director Dean.
I just wanted to clarify that these are the same standby charges that have been in existence for, what, a decade or two? I can't remember the date they were put in place, but they have not been increased at all for many, many years. Two decades, I believe, yes.
I don't know if anybody has a specific answer to that, but they have been around for a long time. I have a question, though, just for clarification for the people listening, because they're not, these are not your water bill charges. These aren't based on usage. Just so we could get a clear description of them, perhaps Mr. Carmel could tell us this. What exactly are we paying for with these?
You're paying for capital improvements and CIP projects and maintenance.
Yeah, right. It's not based on use of water. In other words, this is infrastructure. And no, you're right, and Director Dean is right. They've been around. They are not indexed to inflation, so they stay at these dollar amounts for as long as they're neutered every year in perpetuity.
They predate Prop 218.
Yeah.
As long as they don't increase, we're allowed to continue to collect them.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item?
No.
Anybody in the audience here wants to comment? Seeing none, I guess we'll go. I'll return to the board for a discussion and a motion. Goes first.
Okay.
Yeah, Director Thomas.
I move that we adopt resolution 09-2024, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on the county tax rolls.
You have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded, and I'll read this over very carefully. I'm gonna write that. Skipped ahead a little bit. Okay, move and seconded that we adopt resolution 09-2024, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on the county tax rolls. Could I have a roll call, please?
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. So we'll move along to regular business now. This is item 7A, 7B, and 7C. The first of these is the discussion and consideration of approval of a resolution, this 10-2024, requesting that the County of San Luis Obispo repair Rodeo Grounds Road. And I'll turn this over to Mr. McElhenney to introduce it.
Thank you, President Gray. Agenda item 7A, discussion and consideration of approval of resolution 10-2024, requesting that the County of San Luis Obispo repair Rodeo Grounds Road. There's no fiscal impact to the district for this item, obviously. As we all know, the road, Rodeo Grounds Road, over the years, especially with our storms, has become severely degraded. And so this is our attempt to put it on the county's radar, so to speak. And interestingly enough, on Monday, Mr. Blake Fixler from Bruce Gibson's office called me right away and was inquiring about this agenda item. And we had a great discussion. And I explained that there's some community members and the board are a little concerned with the lack of progress towards getting that repaired. And so he has heard us loud and clear, and we'll continue to have dialogue at that level, along with some other county maintained property within the district that probably needs some repair. So we're gonna keep an open dialogue, but they are aware of it and they're paying attention.
Yeah, General Manager and I were discussing this earlier today, and he said there might be some additional pictures, some additional graphics to show, because the ones we have in the agenda I'm glad we're seeing those. They don't do full justice to the problem because they're in dry weather. The problem is very visible or very obvious in wet weather. As you can see from the puddling, this road is turns into a succession of large ponds of water in the typical rainy season. And that's part of, you know, that's obviously it needs grading. It needs some new road base set down. And also, I should note, this is not, we're not asking to pave it with like an asphalt surface or anything. Nothing major. Just essentially, you know, grading it and putting a new, I would assume a new permeable but durable surface down, whatever they, you know.
Well, I mean, selfishly, President Gray, I would love for it to be paved.
Yeah, but obviously, I guess the extent repairing it. So yeah, if they paved
correct.
It.
And we also explained that you know we're in the. We've been putting in, Director Thomas has put in a lot of work, the PROS committee has been putting a lot of work on this community park plan. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult to envision a park in which we're trying to develop and create activities for our youth and our public members, and then you need a 4x4 Jeep to get there. Yeah. So hopefully that message has been conveyed.
Yeah. My comment about paving doesn't suggest that I don't believe we should have paved roads. In fact, my conviction is that all the county roads in Cambria should be paved. Yeah, without exception. And some of them are actually pretty severely, you know, should be paid more urgently than others, including this one ultimately, and then Burton Drive up on Lodge Hill and so forth. So yes, I'm in favor of paved roads. We'll get what we can get at this point. Anybody, any public comment on this issue?
No.
Okay, any questions from the board? I think I might have missed that. Yeah, Director Farmer.
I just want to put my two cents in. I used to live for 29 years on Burton Drive, where it is a dirt road.
Yeah.
It's a little problematic. I'll be the first to admit that, as is Orville. Orville was a real problem. But there's something kind of heartwarming about dirt roads. So I just wanted to throw that two cents in. And just if the dirt road was kept up, I'd be fine with that. So thank you.
Any other comments, any other questions or short comments? Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. Yeah. And just a couple of comments. And one is, if I happened to be out on the Rodeo Grounds Road someday with a group of picketers, I think, you know, the chant would more likely be pave that road than it would be, please put down some gravel and pack it so that it will last a few more months. And also this picture that we had on the screen was February 6th. This was after one of the mini storms, the one where we had gale force winds and about 2 inches of rain, a number of trees down. And if anyone wants the video footage of that as well, I've got it saved and available. And I thought, when I looked at the pictures in this resolution, I thought, shucks, the road has never looked this good. So let's get real and show them how bad it really is.
Dr. Dean?
I agree. The road has never looked as good as it did in the pictures in the agenda packet. Are you ready for a motion?
Well, I had a further comment. There's no any public comment. Did I ask for public comment yet?
We do not have any public comment.
Good. Yeah, I'd make a further comment about the road and the paving of it. It is a significant road, and it'd become a more significant road as more of the recreational areas developed. And I note that the resolution uses the word repair, and I think we will let the county interpret that. We have to. However, if they interpret it in a direction of pavement, they'll make us very happy. So it's up to them, I guess. But we at least want it repaired. At the minimum, so it's drivable in all weather, without, you know, mud and dirt and everything like that. Yeah, and so with that said, I will entertain a motion.
It's also important because our F&R crew drive that road back and forth every day.
Yeah.
So, I move that we approve Resolution 10-2024, requesting that the County of San Luis Obispo repair Rodeo Grounds Road.
I will enthusiastically second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve Resolution 10-2024, requesting that the County of San Luis Obispo repair at least Rodeo Grounds Road. Can I have a roll call?
Yes. Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye. I would say definitely improve Rodeo Grounds Road, yes.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to item 7B, another resolution. Actually, this is a double-barreled item because it has both the adoption of an ordinance with the also the adoption of a resolution. So full title is Discussion and Consideration of Adoption of Civil Administrative Citation Ordinance 012024 for Violation of CCSD Ordinances and Regulations and Adoption of Resolution 112024 setting forth civil administrative citation penalties for violation of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code. Now, I don't know if Mr. McElhenney or Mr. Carmel would like to speak first on that. Mr. McElhenney, I'll get turned over to you and maybe
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carmel. Thank you, President Gray.
Fill in.
So as far as the fiscal impact for this item, there is none for the introducing and adopting the civil administrative citation ordinance. As we know, at the February 8th, 2024 meeting, the board of directors provided direction to prepare a civil administrative citation ordinance. And on April 18th, the board introduced the ordinance 01-2024. This ordinance will add a chapter 1.14 to the Cambria Community Service District Municipal Code program, and provide a program to issue civil administrative citations for violations of district codes pursuant to the authority in Government Code Section 53069.4. This is a timely introduction of this item because we have had some instances recently with the dog bite that did not occur on CCSD property. But this is an example of something that if we had dogs off leashes at the ranch, we would be within our right to issue a citation. And so this can expand to any and all municipal codes to include water meters, that those are properly cleared and maintained, our defensible space around developed parcels, weed abatement, you name it. So it's going to be a powerful tool for us to motivate those and encourage those to follow the municipal codes. And with that, I'll hand it over to Mr. Carmel to tighten it up.
Mr. Carmel.
Thank you, President Gray. I don't have much to add. The resolution is there to establish the penalties for violation of the ordinance. It's $100 for the first violation, $200 for the second violation of the same ordinance within a 12-month period. And for the third violation and for each violation thereafter, it's $500 within a 12-month period. Then it resets. But you introduced this last meeting, and it's time to adopt.
Thank you. Any questions from the board, from Mr. Carmel or Mr. McElhenney? None? Oh, Director Farmer.
Yeah, I just want to mention that the two examples in here on page 92, where it says, for example, a fine for the first violation of a leash law. And then I believe it's on page 97, it talks about abatement procedures. In other words, with regard to fuel reduction, I guess would be the diplomatic term to use. What I wanted to ask on page 95, it talks about the code enforcement officer and the hearing officer. So I'd just be curious to know who would be filling those positions. Thanks.
Either Mr. Carmel or Mr. McElhenney. Ms. McElhenney.
Yes, President Gray. And Mr. Carmel can correct me if I'm wrong, but the hearing officer would be myself. And then theoretically, any CCSD employee would be the code enforcement personnel if they were there to witness the violation. Am I correct?
It's you or whoever you designate.
Mm-hmm. Does that apply to both? In other words, the hearing officer is Mr. McElhenney or a designee of his, but that the enforcement officer could be anybody from CCSD?
Enforcement officer means any person authorized by the district to enforce violations of the district code, including without limitation, department managers, fire prevention personnel, and any employee designated by the general manager.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I had a question about the, this is something that's come up very recently to my attention, but it's been brewing for a while, a problem specific problem with a house that's been vacant for years and is falling apart on Marine Terrace. And then I just got some emails, exchange of emails with the homeowner who lives nearby, who's very frustrated and has gone to the county and has gone to us to try to find out what can be done about this property. Now, I'll ask Mr. McElhenney a little bit for what we know, but I also had a question about this long section on abatement procedure, which seems to apply to something like a nuisance on a real property. Is this something we could handle with either existing ordinances, i.e. the fire code, California fire code as amended, which we incorporated into our municipal code, or with a new ordinance, or addition to the fire code ordinance, or a new ordinance in its own right? In other words, abandoned properties that are also arguably fire hazards. I could try Mr. McElhenney first.
I can answer the first part of that, President Gray, is if we can tie a fire code that's being violated to that property, then through this program, we can enforce or levy some fines. I will note that that property does have a for sale sign in front of it. It's on the market. So it's a touchy area in which do I want to, if we were to levy fines against a property that's for sale, you know, could be touchy, but we can address that at a later time. But as far as adopting a new ordinance for that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Carmel.
Yeah, Mr. Carmel.
I think your answer is accurate. If it violates, you know, this particular ordinance deals with district laws. So if it violates any district law, in this case, most likely the California Fire Code, we would have the ability to abate it. You know, the county handles code enforcement and specifically building code violations. We don't. In this case, the county's, I know they've been addressing this particular structure for quite a while. And the last time I talked to county council, they hadn't identified any clear-cut building code violations. So that's why it continues to sit. And as I understand it, we haven't been able to identify any clear-cut fire code violations. But this is going to be our sole civil administrative citation ordinance, and it would cover it again if it violates a district code or a code that we incorporate by reference. Mm-hmm. We could abate it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this subject?
No.
Anybody, any comment? Anyone in the hall wishes to comment? Okay. Well. I'll turn it back to the board for discussion and a motion. And Dr. Farmer.
Well, I just want to say, so in other words, severe eyesore does not qualify as a violation of the municipal code, is that it? I mean, knowing that place that we're referring to that has been looking that way for, I don't know, 20 years easy.
I guess, but I'm
kind of being tongue in cheek.
I know,
but it is unfortunate that place continues to exist in such disrepair, and that's being diplomatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the question is whether under a defensible space ordinance under the state California the state fire code and definitions of defensible space. This could be considered a fire hazard for adjoining residences because it's very close. They're all minimum setback, I think, apart, and it's an all wood structure that is falling apart, has holes in it, and it's a fire trap. And if that's a plausible extension of the defensible space ordinance, which I think literally applies just to vegetation, that's the big question. But it is. You know, you could argue it's a fire hazard, whether it passes legal muster or not. Anyway, I have a motion, Director Thomas, or motion or a question.
Yeah, I just wanted discussion. To say, you know, the comment that the county has been unable to find any building code violation, that is mind numbing. You know, it's, you know, and the concept of an eyesore, you know, how do you define it? Well, you know it when you see it. And So that gives us a clue that there may need to be additional ordinances of some sort, but it won't be easy.
Dr. Dean.
I would think, although maybe this isn't the case because there's no one living there, but I would think the health department would have something to say as well, because I understand that it is very inhabited by rats and bats and other kind of critters. But I guess since it's not inhabited, that hasn't been an issue.
Vice President Scott.
I am ready to make a motion whenever everybody else is.
I think we will, because we're not really debating the merits of this proposal, which is so. Yeah, please proceed.
Okay, I move that we adopt the Civil Administrative Citation Ordinance 012024 for violation of CCSD ordinances and regulations, and adopt Resolution 11-2024 setting forth civil administrative citation penalties for violation of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code.
On just a question on wording.
And waive further.
And waive reading. Further reading, right?
Can I clarify that a little bit?
Please, yeah.
It's required that we read the exact title of the ordinance. This is Ordinance 01-2024, an ordinance adding Chapter 1.14 to the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code relating to civil administrative citations, and waive further reading. Okay. And then if we could split the resolution into a separate motion, that would be helpful.
Okay, so we'll just do the ordinance first. With the reading, the language verbatim of what Mr. Carmel just gave us. Is that okay?
That's
Vice President Scott, okay.
I'll second President the motion.
Dean, yeah, okay. So moved and seconded that we adopt the Civil Administrative Citation Ordinance 012024 for violation of CCSD ordinances and regulations, and waive further reading. And my interpretation is, of course, a summary of the actual text, which has just been given to us by Mr. Carmel. So could I have a roll call, please?
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. Now, could I have a motion on the resolution? The resolution 11-2024.
Okay.
Vice President Scott.
Yes, I move for the adoption of Resolution 11-2024, setting forth civil administrative citation penalties for violation of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Director Dean.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that the board adopt Resolution 11-2024, setting forth civil administrative citation penalties for violation of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code. Could we roll call, please?
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to the appointment, discussion and consideration to fill a vacant seat on the Parks, Recreation, Open Space Committee. We have three applicants who've turned in applications that are in our agenda packet. And I would like to proceed in the following order. I want to give the first round to the applicants themselves, if they wish to come forward, those who are here, and speak and present any whatever they want to present to the board in way of their qualifications and their interest in the position. And then I think we go to questions that the board members might ask of any of the applicants, and then we go to public comment. And we bring this back to board discussion. And at that point, we have the chair of the committee, Director Thomas, give his comments and his recommendation on this matter. And then we entertain a motion to have discussion, board discussion, have a motion. Just so the public knows the procedure, why the chair of the committee gets that role, it's spelled out in the bylaws of the CCSD regarding appointment of committee members, that the board acts on the recommendation of the chair of the committee. So the chair of the committee can't tell the board what to do. The board always has its own, makes the final call. But we basically owe the chair a vote on his his or her choice, if he wishes to make a recommendation. So he gets the chance to make a recommendation, then we decide on that, and then that should conclude the process. So first and foremost, the applicants are, I think, Julie Amadei and Dennis Dujic and Shannon Melendi. I don't know if she's here or not, but who would any of them want to come up first? I'll give you a Ms. Amadei, you want to? Yeah.
Thank you. Well, this is a passion space for me. I'm not a new face to the board, and it would be a great pleasure for me to be able to serve on PROS. I've watched tremendous traction take place since we've gone from a commission to a committee. I've been actively involved in the East Ranch, originally as an ad hoc, as we were making presentations and opportunities to present themselves for potentially a Frisbee golf course. And of course, actively involved with the skate park project right now. So much work needs to be done in this area. As far as my qualifications, my application is pretty thorough, but I'm happy to answer any questions. Sat on multiple boards, been president of multiple organizations. No surprise that I'm also one of your school board trustees. And again, this is definitely a space that I'm very, very passionate about. I'm confident I can be a contributing factor to the board that's already in place. And I'm currently serving, with full disclosure, on your R&I committee right now. So of course that would be relinquishing my R&I position to be able to serve on this board. And personally, it has been such a pleasure to be on R&I under Director Dean, but I think the lane that I think can best serve the community and where I feel like I fit is PROS. So I ask for your careful consideration for me to be put onto that board. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we go away, any questions from the board for Ms. Amadei?
Please.
Please. Question? Please. You can sit down, please.
Thank you.
You can sit down now, yeah. Okay. Oh, wait, Harry. Wait. Harry had a question.
You know, I
Director Farmer had a question.
I don't necessarily have a question. Maybe I should just wait to make a comment after both applicants have spoken.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you.
You just want me to get my steps in, Harry, right?
That's it.
Okay. Can I sit down now?
You can sit down now.
Okay.
I think Mr. Dujic. Welcome.
Thank you, President Gray and board and staff. As you all know, we came to Cambria in November, and I've been involved in everything Cambria I can be since that time. I apologize for the raspy throat today. Sorry. Had a bout with some poison oak. Speaking of open spaces. my love of the outdoors and open spaces goes back to my childhood. I was a longtime scout and 15-year scoutmaster, and we had a high adventure group, and we did all kinds of service projects in the High Sierra, which is where we were located. And as you all know, my wife has been coming here since she was 11 years old, and she and I came here on her senior prom. And so in terms of commitment to the community, there's no question we're committed here, and this is our place. We live in Oak Terrace. On one side we have the Santa Rosa Creek, on the other side is the East Ranch, on the other side of our fence. So, and I've been very involved with our local Oak Terrace community as regards Fiscalini Ranch issues. And that really drew me in to this. And so I've been attending PROS committee meetings to make sure that I understand the depth and breadth of what's going on here. To be totally clear, as you saw in my application, in the packet, I initially turned in my application for the R&I committee position, which there was not one open at that time. And if you look at my resume and background, that portion of my bio is definitely more leaning in the direction of R&I. I have to be straight up with that. So Clearly, R&I was my first choice to be on a committee. So obviously, I would expect, understand that you would have that as a consideration. And absent a candidate who more appropriately and more vehemently can serve the committee, I could understand you might make a different choice. Any questions?
Any questions from the board? No questions. Thank you, Mr. Dujic. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure Ms. Melendi is available to speak if she's online. Ms. Dodson, is she there?
She's not.
She's not, okay.
And if I may?
Yeah, please, Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, in communication, and my lack of questions is because we've had very thorough discussions with each of the candidates, and Shannon, she works 6 or 6:30 until, I think, 3 p.m. At State Parks, been there 8 years, so on short notice. She couldn't pull this off. She had a previously scheduled meeting.
You might note this in your comments as later that Director Thomas has interviewed all three applicants pretty thoroughly. So they're not strangers to him. Is there any public comment on the applications? Ms. Dodson?
Yes, Jeff Wilson.
Mr. Wilson, you're online, I assume.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Jeff Wilson, full disclosure, current PROS committee secretary and member. And I simply want to say I fully support Julie's selection on this. She would be a terrific addition to our committee. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Wilson. Anybody else online?
No.
Anyone here in the hall who would like to comment? Okay, so I'll turn it over now to Director Thomas to give his discussion and his recommendation.
Well, thank you, President Gray. And I want to start by saying how excited I am to have such talented members of the community volunteering to support, to serve on the PROS committee. And we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and I'm so grateful for the volunteer spirit. First, Dennis Dujic has been attending CCSD board meetings for years, patiently, and I would say intelligently advocating for Cambria lot owners hoping to develop their properties. He's been attending recent PROS committee meetings, raising important issues impacting the property, specifically the Santa Rosa Creek flood control, important issues. And as you know, Dennis explained, he submitted his application for R&I, but he's also interested in PROS. Very impressive background as a registered professional engineer, extensive experience in power generation. And if you have any questions about offshore wind farm development, have a look at their resume. He's a good person to get information and insight from. And if you have any interest in steam power generation, Dennis is really a Renaissance man in that regard. And also from our discussions, it's very clear that Dennis is a system thinker, you know, in terms of how this connects to this and this connects to this, truly has a knack for that. Shannon Melendi, not here today because as I said, she's working, but she's lived in Cambria for 6 years, but her family roots date back much further. A master gardener, Shannon has been working for State Parks for the last 8 years. She's the lead maintenance technician at San Simeon. She was the volunteer coordinator at State Parks pre-COVID. She's got a lot of passion on heart for the animal adoption as the volunteer coordinator. As we were talking, I was just a bit in awe. And the, the saying, if you want something done, ask a busy person. And I sidetracked a little bit trying to remember who that quote was, because that's, I was thinking about, that is so relevant. And it turns out I had to look up, and yes, that was Benjamin Franklin. And another interesting thing, you know, while Shannon has not been involved in CCSD politics, so we don't know her, not as familiar with her as we are with the other two candidates. But from what I've learned, I've no doubt that Shannon is a quick study. And it also, as it turns out, that Shannon and her husband are big disc golf fans. So I thought, well, how timely is that? Julie Amade, they've lived here in Cambria for, I think, 13 years. And Julie has demonstrated history of achieving results within the scope of PROS. Julie's leadership is truly impressive in bringing the Cambria Skate Park project within sight of reality. It's we can all feel it's going to happen, and I'm very confident that the PROS committee would benefit from greatly from that involvement. And talk about hitting the ground running. Julie has been involved with the PROS commission for years. Julie had applied for the open seat last fall. And even though she was not selected at that time, Julie has continued her steadfast support and involvement in all things PROS committee. And that truly speaks volumes for her depth of character. Julie has shown time and time again that she has no particular agenda other than serving this community. And so, in my opinion, Julie Amade is the clear choice to fill this open seat on the PROS committee, and I'm excited to bring this recommendation to the board.
Thank you, Director Thomas. I'll turn this over to the board for discussion and a motion. Director Dean.
Okay, I wanted to thank Julie, since I assume she's going to be voted in, for all of her hard work on the R&I. You know, when we were handed the policy on climate, that ad hoc committee was formed in March of 2023, and Julie hit the road running. I have never seen anybody so capable of researching and finding grants and interviewing other communities for all of their climate action plans and all of that, and coming back with so much information. And if it weren't for Julie, we wouldn't have found those grants that we have been applying for now for an actual climate action plan that a policy can be written from. So I want to thank Julie for all of her hard work, and I only hope that I can replace her with someone who is just as equally competent in doing the research of the type that Julie has been doing in grants, etc. I do have one request, though. If Julie is voted in, and I'm assuming she is, I do need her for Monday's R&I meeting to finalize the climate committee policy. So if we can wait and make her appointment ballot after that, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, and this is one of those take all the time you need scenarios, and also read through the bylaws again once or twice, three or four times. There's nothing in there that says a member of the community cannot participate on more than one. However, it has been unwritten, you know, kind of the routine. But again, take all the time you need, and even after officially becoming a PROS committee member, there's nothing to prevent a community member from contributing to the extent of their available.
Maybe just to this issue has come up before about multiple appointments. Mr. Carmel, could you just clarify what the rule is on that?
I was under the impression there was a provision in the bylaws saying you could not be on two committees. That's what I was looking
for. I think it's
there
too. Yeah, I think it's there too.
So yeah. I'm scanning it now, but yeah. I know that Director Thomas is really thorough with what he does, so now I'm a little worried.
But you know, sometimes you just miss things, so I'll look again too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. McElhan, you had relied on.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. In conferring with Mrs. Dodson, we do have to send something to the county for the 700 form, so there needs to be a determined date of termination from R&I, and then a beginning date for PROS. And I, you know, obviously, if Monday is her is Mrs. Amadei's last R&I meeting. I'm sure we could do.
So Monday would be the, Monday would be the 15th? No, 13th, Monday the 13th. And then the next PROS meeting is quite a bit later, or beginning next month, isn't it? The 15th, oh. So, no, no.
The 21st.
21st, okay, so it's, yeah. So any date, and we can do, you can actually, in a motion, I think, say, as of May, whatever, you can make that part of the motion, and we'll just, the appointment would be effective then.
I think May 15th for the termination date for R&I, and then.
Yeah. 15th, yeah.
And I want to say, yes, I am hoping that she does continue to attend and contribute as a member of the public, as Mr. Dudzik has been doing as well. He's brought a lot of valuable information to R&I. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Would you like a motion?
Please.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Unless there's some discussion.
Director Farmer has something.
Yeah. I just want to make a comment first. I want to thank Director Thomas for doing his job and providing us with a lot of feedback with regard to all three of the applicants. It was very helpful. And I want to thank Mr. Dudzik for applying for this position. But I just want to say, in having been involved with Julie in her many activities, especially her unbelievable commitment to the skate park. I don't recall how many times we met out on the East Ranch, a group of us, and speculating or conferring about, well, what would go where, and how is this going to work, and boy, this is such a great opportunity. And then once a month, a group of us would meet over at the Chamber of Commerce to kind of discuss how we move forward with the East Ranch, and that was mainly initiated by Julie. And so she's just a firecracker. And she's going to be, and I believe you are an ex officio member of the PROS Commission, if I'm not mistaken. So Julie's, I don't want to say she's going to hit the ground with both feet. Let's just say that Julie is just so passionate about moving forward with regard to recreational opportunities in this community that it's, there's like two of her. That's, she gets so much done. And I think, like I say, Director Thomas is going to be unbelievably fortunate to have her as a member of the PROS committee. So there we are.
Any further discussion? I will entertain a motion now with the date in mind. Dr. Dean.
I move that we appoint Julie Amadei to fill the vacant seat on the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Committee effective May 15th.
Do I have a second?
And it's with gratitude that I second your motion.
So it has been moved and seconded that this board appoint Julie Amadei to the vacant seat on the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Committee as of May 15th.
I just wanted to confirm the date because R&I meets on the 13th. So you still want it to be the 15th, 2 days later?
I mean, you're meeting, they're meeting the next, you're meeting the next week. Yeah,
15th
is fine.
Yeah. Cool.
May 15th, yeah. Can I have a roll call, please?
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. Thank you, everyone. And congratulations.
President Gray, I did want to, there is a provision.
Space on, if you wish to speak, please do.
There is a provision that indicates you can't hold two positions on a committee.
Okay, yeah. That's good for future reference because I think it comes up now and then in discussion. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Carmel.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to prepare the entire board. We've got a lot that's going to be coming down the pike in the next 24 to 36 months. I'm excited. And just be prepared because we're coming for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
In a good way, of course.
Thank you. Congratulations. Director Dean.
And I want to thank her, Julie, again for all the hard work that she has done on R&I, and you will be missed, but please don't be a stranger.
And our next item is board member, committee and liaison reports. Either the reports in writing, our finance committee, policy committee, PROS committee, resources and infrastructure committee, and other liaison reports, I think includes several. First of all, I'd like to take any questions that board members may have on any of these reports for clarification. If anybody has a question about a report. Director Dean.
I have a correction.
Okay.
On page 120, I put in the first paragraph that Director Thomas attended the meeting in person, and he did not. He attended via Zoom.
Okay. Yeah, with corrections, I think maybe the thing to do is, just we don't vote on these, is to say that just have those shown in the minutes, corrected in the minutes. Is that appropriate? Yeah, Chris, make the correction in the minutes. Yeah, okay.
That's what I was planning on doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Any other comments, questions, or corrections? I don't have any. Any public comment on any of these reports? Online, anybody online?
No.
Okay. Well, having reviewed the reports, maybe has any more, unless there's further comment on that, I don't see any. Lights going on. We'll move on to future agenda items. This is the time, I think we do want to review, have Ms. Dodson call the roll of all the tentatively scheduled future agenda items, and then we'll turn it over to the board for any suggestions they may have.
Okay. In June, the board will consider approval of an agreement for consultant services for professional auditing services and performance of the district's fiscal year 23-24 audit. Consideration of adoption of a resolution approving the updated district personnel policies, procedures, and rules. Consideration of adoption of the CCSD workplace violence prevention plan. A public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of a resolution confirming the 2023 fire hazard fuel reduction program itemized cost report of the CCSD. Public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of a resolution confirming the itemized report to collect delinquent solid waste collection and disposal charges on the county tax rolls. A public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of a resolution approving a fire suppression benefit assessment consumer price index adjustment at the rate of 4.2% for fiscal year 24-25 and confirming the itemized report to collect the assessment on the county tax rolls. A discussion and consideration of the 2024-2025 rate adjustments to water and sewer rates and adoption of a resolution establishing the said rates. And consideration of adoption of a resolution requesting consolidation of the CCSD election with the November 5th general election. Consideration or public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of a resolution approving the CCSD preliminary budget for fiscal year 24-25 and resolution establishing the fiscal year 24-25 appropriations limit. Discussion and consideration of the 2024-2025 annual water shortage assessment report. Discussion and consideration of extension of the outstanding People's Self-Help Housing Project Intent to Serve letter. Discussion and consideration of adoption of the updated investment policy. Updating the CCSD Board of Directors regarding the countywide evacuation plan and Cambria's fire prevention plan. Discussion regarding district vehicle use and approval of a resolution. And finally, discussion and consideration of adoption of policy 1055, legislative advocacy policy recommended by the staff and policy committee. And I will also.
Yeah, I was going to say that's just 1 month. That's June.
So oh, okay. I forget one. Hold on.
Oh.
I didn't scroll down far enough.
Yeah.
In a public hearing to receive community input on the draft project description for the WRF coastal development permit application and direct staff to file the draft project description with the County of San Luis Obispo Department of Planning and Building staff for final evaluation, input, and direction.
Thank you.
And these agendas will be sent out to you guys shortly.
Right. And
President Gray, I just wanted to add an asterisk next to the public hearing for the project description. It really depends on our communication with our consultant, another ad hoc committee meeting, and getting it in
right
in time to put it on the agenda. So
yeah.
We are working our best to get that.
There's also next week's agenda, which is going out, I believe, tonight, right? That has quite a bit on it. Maybe you just go so people here and in the audience know. Yeah. Yeah, what we have in the way of business there.
Would you like me to read those?
Yeah, if you will, please. Thank you.
Okay. Next week, it'll be consideration of adoption of a resolution updating the assignment of banking powers for the CCSD, consideration of adoption of a resolution approving financing for the water meters, and discussion and consideration of the third quarter budget report for fiscal year 23-24.
Thank you. Dr. Dean.
Okay, I guess we're gonna need an agenda item to advertise to fill the vacancy. On the R&I committee, I don't know at what point this will be on the agenda, but I would rather coming back to make the decision be at least the second week in June, because I will not be here to review the applications for the first meeting.
Right. It sounds like we might want to, if it's not an inconvenience, maybe put that on the second week. You're coming back the second week in June, right? You're going to miss one of the meetings. Going to miss.
No, I'm going to come back right before the meeting.
But maybe the, or just the third.
Maybe
the third
we add it to the first June board meeting. We advertise for 2 weeks, and then put it on the first board meeting in July, or schedule a special meeting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
Having heard all that, does anybody have any?
We're also the R&I committee is also going to be bringing back the climate change policy report for the board's consideration. Mm-hmm.
And that could be on again in June or
in June.
Yeah. There, I have a question about the timing of the any action related to the Santa Rosa Creek well, and the potential settlement. What would be the, I ask General Manager McElhinney, what would be the most feasible way to schedule action on that, given where things are right now?
Thank you, President Gray. Mr. Carmel and I have discussed, and it would most likely be a special meeting if an agreement was to come to fruition, which we're hopeful for. I think that would probably be the quickest way to resolve this. Mr. Carmel?
I think that's probably accurate. They're meeting tonight. They have a closed session. The school district's meeting tonight with closed session to evaluate what happened at the mediation. I don't think we can get our agreement together, a purchase and sale agreement, settlement agreement, within the time frame between now and the 16th. So, and I don't think it should wait until the June meetings. That's just me. You obviously control that process. So it's somewhat dependent on what the school district does, and then how quickly we can, and we've already started it, to be candid with you, how quickly we can draft the agreement that's required. And then hopefully we can do it at a special meeting. It may be a complicated item, so it may be better not to have it on a regular agenda. But again, that's up to you, Mr. President.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's seems to be my thinking too, that we and I'll check with Director Dean on her schedule. But,
hopefully, if possible, that can be before the 20th.
The 16th is a Thursday. The 20th would be a Monday, right? Yeah. You're leaving on the 20th, right?
21st.
Mr. Carmel, is the 20th seem feasible? I mean, that's the first day of the work week.
It's possible, but I'd really just be speculating. Remember, there is the ability to have a teleconference on the whole thing if you want.
Yeah, we did that actually with Director Thomas, who was in Portugal, when we had our special meeting, which I don't know if it's up to kind of the board member, the director who wants to, if you want to interrupt your vacation for a meeting, but it can be done. So we might have, it sounds like we're headed in the direction of maybe doing something in that time frame.
But as long as I'm not in the air.
Yes, we can. Well, it's a complicated procedure. You have to post the agenda on the door of the room, and I think it can be in English, but it's got to be posted there, and people have to be notified where you are and everything like that. So yeah, you wouldn't do it from an airplane. Yeah.
And President Gray, tonight would be telling as well, to kind of see where we're headed after tonight.
Exactly. Vice President Scott.
And I'm also going to be gone beginning the 24th through June 2nd.
Okay, so we'll see. I mean, we'll make it happen. I mean, if it has to happen early, I think it's very important to get the agreement finalized. Yeah, without any delay we can avoid. Any board members have any other further future agenda proposals? Any public comment on this topic from here in the Veterans Hall or online? Ms. Dodson?
No.
No public comment? And no comment from the these attendees? I think it's without further ado, I'm adjourning this meeting. as of 2/24/25. Thank you.